Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. And we're talking about the subject of the laying on of hands. And we know, and I wanted to start this. Give me a little more volume, please. Thank you. Just a tad. I'm going to read this from the King James. It says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God and of the doctrine of baptisms." You notice it's plural. "And of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment." Now, what's interesting is sometimes it's good to look at different words. I just do it, you know, I don't do it all the time, but I just happen to be impressed this evening. What does the word doctrine mean when it says in Hebrews chapter 6, doctrine of Christ? When you look up that word doctrine, it's logos. So that word logos is the word of God. It's the will of God. So when we look at this, it's important. The reason I'm sharing this is because when we look at this and it says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the logos of Christ," this is the will of God. What's the will of God? The doctrines, the principle, the doctrines of Christ. What are the doctrines of Christ? Repentance, faith toward God. These are these doctrines. Repentance, which is leading us to the new birth. The faith towards God. What is that? What is it? What do we mean? It says, "For by what does it say? For by grace are you saved." What? Through faith. This is the logos. This is the word of God, right? What's the other? The doctrine of baptisms. Well, we know that we're baptized into Christ. You know, when we talk about baptisms, the doctrine of baptisms, we know we're baptized into the body of Christ. There's water baptism, right? And then there's the baptism with what? The Holy Ghost. So that's the doctrine of baptisms. This is the will of God, right? And then what do we have also? It says the laying on of hands, right? This is a doctrine of Christ for who? The body of Christ. So it's important that when we start talking about, we're focusing on the laying on of hands, and we'll just touch on this. Let me not get ahead here. Then we talk about resurrection of the dead. This is a doctrine. This is the will of God. So the resurrection of the dead, it didn't say the resurrection of the dead. It said resurrection of the dead. Well, we know Jesus was raised from the dead. And we also know in 1 Thessalonians, it says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then what? Those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. So there's more than one resurrection, is what we're saying here. And that also, when we talk about eternal judgment, there's more than one judgment. So these doctrines, which include the laying on of hand, is the will of God for the church and not just for somebody special. You know, when we talk about, well, it was Jesus was, you know, laid hands on the sick, or that was the apostles, that they were anointed to do that. No, this is saying here that the doctrines of Christ are for the church, right? So just as a kind of a recap, when we talk about laying on of hands, the primary thing that you see in the New Testament, I mean, there's more than one purpose for the laying on of hands, but the primary purpose was for healing. So we can see in the Old Testament, we can see the laying on of hands, Moses was instructed to do what? Lay hands upon Joshua. And it said to transfer some of his honor. And actually, you can see over in Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter 34. I'll read it. It says Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, did as the Lord commanded him. So through the laying on of hands, there was an impartation into Joshua of some of what the Lord said, the honor that rested upon him, the anointing that rested upon him, was imparted to Joshua. So that was a purpose for the laying on of hands in this case. And of course, we saw in the Old Testament, they laid hands upon their children to confer a blessing. They spoke blessings over them, laid hands upon them. And in the New Testament, Acts chapter 8, hands were laid upon them to do what? Receive the Holy Ghost. To receive the Holy Ghost. Also, just turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And look at verse 14. You may want to keep your coat on for a minute till it warms up in here. They just turned the heat on. So it's just a little cool. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, I'm reading from the King James. Neglect not what? The gift that is in thee. How was this gift given? Look at this. It says, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. So here, and he continues, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. And you can see there's other places in Acts chapter 6. You can see here where they, you can turn over there and just see here briefly Acts chapter 6. where they asked to look out upon them. It says, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And down in verse 6, after they had selected them, it said, whom they set before the apostles, right? When they had prayed, they did what? They laid their hands upon them. So here you can see they laid their hands upon them to impart some of the anointing that was upon the apostles so that they could oversee the business or the waiting of tables, so to speak, right? And that's just exactly when you saw here, what? To impart wisdom, to impart some of that anointing that rested upon them, not to confer upon them or appoint them to a particular, in some way you could say they were appointing them to a church office. They were, you know, waiting on tables, you could say it would be like a deacon, in a sense. So why did they do that? So that they could do what? Give themselves continually to prayer and the word. So it freed them up. So that was the purpose of, in this case, laying on of hands. That's some of them. And now, this evening, I wanted to go a little further here. Let's look at the New Testament. Let's look at Mark chapter 6. And we look at the story of Jesus who went into his own country, right? And starting in verse 1, Mark chapter 6. And we're talking about the laying on of hands regarding healing now. This is where we're going to focus on. Mark chapter 6. And starting in verse 1, it says, "And he," Jesus, "went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought, how? By his hands. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him, but Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house." And verse 5, "And he could there do no mighty work, save that he did what? He laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them, and he marveled because of his unbelief, and he went round about doing what? Around the villages, teaching." It doesn't say he was teaching and preaching and healing. He just continued to teach until faith would come. So you can see here that obviously he got results with laying on of hands, right? I mean, in other cases, he just spoke the word. But here, he got some results with just the laying on of hands. Jesus did. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And starting in verse 14. And this is the story of Peter's mother-in-law, how Jesus ministered to her. Starting in verse 14 and 15, it says, "And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he did what? He touched her hand, and what? The fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them." So he touched or laid his hands upon them, the sick, and they were healed. It's not the only way, but it's one way. Let's look at Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Keep in mind, what are we talking about here? This is a doctrine of the church. Now again, we're talking about here, this is Jesus's, during Jesus's ministry. But he was our example. In verse 22, this is the blind man of Bethsaida. Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 22. "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and he besought." "And they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to do what? To touch him." So they must have had, this is the interesting thing when you read this, sometimes we read over it, when they besought Jesus to touch him, they must have had faith in the laying on of hands. The people did. So they must have seen or heard of Jesus laying hands upon the sick and they'll recover. So they brought a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he laid hands on him. He asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Now, isn't it interesting here? Just take a stop here and make note. It doesn't say they came to Jesus and asked him to pray for the man. Didn't say that. It said they asked him to do what? To touch him. Just touch him. So now let's look at verse 25. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. I think this is interesting. So here we see that Jesus laid hands more than once on the man. Didn't he? He did. Doesn't say they came and asked for him to pray. He laid hands upon him more than once. So if Jesus can do it, then so can we. As far as laying hands on someone more than once in that setting. Let's now turn to Mark 7. We're there. Let's back up a little bit. Mark chapter 7 and verse 31. This is talking about the deaf man in Decapolis, or the coast of Decapolis. And starting in verse 31, it says, "And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis, and they," doesn't say who they were, but it says, "they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they did what? They beseech him to put his hand upon him." So this sounds similar to the blind man at Bethsaida, doesn't it? It said some people who brought a blind man and they besought him to touch him. Here they bring a deaf man with an impediment of speech, and they do what? They ask him to put his hand on him. Ask Jesus to put his hand. They didn't ask him to pray. He said, "Put your hand on him." "And he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his" what? "His ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he" did what? "He spake plain." So we can see in both these examples, the people brought a deaf man, they brought a blind man, and asked Jesus to touch him so that he would be healed. But here's the thing, when they brought, just like the man who came born of four and let down through the roof, there had to be faith in the laying on of hands. They had to expect that something that Jesus was going to do, meaning the laying on of hands, they came expecting that they were going to receive. Otherwise, why would they bring? Why would they ask? So they came expecting, and they received. So the same thing applies to us, that if you have someone lay hands upon you, you have to come expecting to receive, right? Remember, it's a doctrine of the church. It's something that's the will of God for all of us. You're not just, you know, again, I heard it, you know, people would, and of course, Brother Hagin would talk about it, but I heard it from people out of their own mouth. "Well, I'm just going to see if I get something." Well, you won't. If you're just going to try something, then you're not coming in faith. And I heard it, I mean, in my early Christian walk, I heard people say, "Well, I didn't get anything. I didn't feel anything. I didn't get anything." So you were trying it out. You weren't coming in faith expecting to receive something when hands were laid upon you. So if you don't expect something, then you won't receive anything. Nothing will happen. Now let's go to Mark chapter 5. This is Jairus' daughter. Mark And starting in verse 21, it says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side," so he just coming from casting out the devil out of the man at Gadara. "And so much people did" what? It says, "it gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and do" what? "Lay hands on her, that she may be healed and she may live." So he must have believed. Here's another instance. Jairus must have believed that Jesus could do something through the laying on of hands. He didn't do like the, just blank here on a second, but what's the other story? The centurion who came and said, "Just speak the word only." He didn't say that. He said, "Here, you come and lay your hands on my daughter, and she shall be healed." Right? So he came expecting to have hands laid upon her and see his daughter healed. And so when you continue, it said in verse 24, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." And then, of course, you know, then you have the woman with the issue of blood. And then down in verse 35, the story picks up and continues. "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead." So now his faith is being tested here. He said, "Your daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" I'm sure some of us have reached some situations like that where it says, why even continue to believe for that? You ain't never going to get it. You won't have it. The doctor said X, Y, Z. You know, we read so many testimonies of people who have been brought from the hospital. They've given them a week to live or days to live. The doctor said there's no way. If you've got breath in your mouth and your lungs, and you've got faith in your heart, you can be healed. You know, there's something here that interesting. I saw a little clip the other day, just stirred my heart. Somebody said, "We're not trying to get healing. He got it for us. We're not trying to get something. He got it. Jesus purchased our salvation. He already got healing for us. So we don't have to get anything. We just have to do what? Receive it and take it. We don't have to get it. It's ours." Hallelujah. So verse 35, and let's see. No, not 35. I'm down here. Well, it's 36 we want to pick up. "As soon as Jesus" what? "Heard the word that was spoken" what? "Don't bother the master. He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid" what? "Only believe." That's what we should do. Be not afraid, only believe. "And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand." So here's the thing. Here's where he's laying his hands on her. Right? We're talking about the laying on of hands. "He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And what? Straightway the damsel arose and walked, and she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. Hallelujah. So here you can see this was during Jesus' ministry. Somebody may say, well, that applied to Jesus. Oh, okay. So let's turn over to Mark chapter 16. Let's look at the Great Commission. Let's see how that works out for you with that line of thinking. I know you don't think that way, but you may have to answer somebody. Somebody may not know. Mark chapter 16. He's talking here to the apostles, but let's see what he says to them starting in verse 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is the Logos. This is the gospel. And he that believeth and is what? Baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And what? And these signs shall follow them that believe. Who's a believer in here? That'd be me. He didn't say these signs will follow just the apostles. Didn't say these signs will follow just Jesus. Or he could have said right there, sorry, boys, these signs only follow me. He didn't do that. And he didn't say these signs will only follow you. And at the end of that, when you come home to heaven, that's the end of it. He didn't say that. He said these signs will follow them that believe. We're believers. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the Great Commission. These are to believers. These signs shall follow them that believe. It doesn't even say, if you look at this, it doesn't even say these signs will follow those who are mature and grown up. It doesn't even say that, does it? It says those that believe. Because we're all growing up every day and maturing. Right? Doesn't say that. So now let's take another look. Let's go over to Acts chapter 5. Let's look at some things in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5. So when we look at the Great Commission, and the apostles were charged with going into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature, let's look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. And it says, how? And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. So they must have believed what Jesus said, right? They must have believed him, because this says here, and many signs and wonders followed them. How? By the hands of the apostles. So they must have taken Jesus up on his command and believed. Now let's go to the end of Acts. Let's go to Acts 28. Still talking about the laying on of hands as one method to receive healing. One way. Acts chapter 28. And verse 8, and of course, you know, this is where Paul was shipwrecked on the island of Melita. He was on his way to Rome to be delivered, and they shipwrecked. And starting in verse 8, it says, and it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and did what? Laid his hands on him and what? Healed him. Healed him. And so here's the other thing. Look at verse 9. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. So this was an example to others, just like in Jesus' ministry. They saw that they could receive something through the laying on of hands. They could receive healing. Here's an example right here. Paul went into the father of Publius went in, laid hands upon him. He prayed. He laid hands on him. He was sick. And obviously, it must have been noised abroad on that island. Hey, bring the sick. This man over here will lay hands on them, and they'll be healed. And it says what? It says, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. So that right there created faith in them. He must have been ministering the word. He must have taught the word, taught them something. And they had faith to receive. Isn't that good? That's exciting to me. Let's back up to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. And these here are talking about Paul and special miracles. See, I think the difference here, and I'm going to just point this out here, that there can be, like in Jesus' case and Paul's case, there may be a special anointing that's imparted, right? And like Brother Hagin, he said, Brother Hagin would say, Jesus touched the palms of my hands, and he said, this won't work unless you say it, you tell it to the people, that I touched your hands, I told you to do it. And he said, that won't work unless you say it, when you tell it. But that was a special anointing given to him and is also given to other individuals, a special anointing from the head of the church. That's different and apart from just any believer who lays hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Does everybody understand that? Yes. And that special anointing, I believe, comes from the head of the church. So Acts chapter 19, and starting in verse 1, or actually, I'm sorry, verse 11, not 1. And it said, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Verse 12. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So we can see here there was deliverance from evil spirits and healing through anointing that was upon the handkerchiefs. So you can see here that this power and this anointing that was in the cloths was the same anointing that was in Paul that rested upon him, not something different. And it didn't say that, you know, these signs would follow just the apostles. Now, the other interesting thing is if you look up this word miracles in verse 11, when it says, and God wrought special miracles. That word miracles in the Greek is dunamis. I just was impressed to look it up. Like I said, I don't do that all the time, but I just said, gee, I wonder what that word miracles means. That word miracles in the Greek is dunamis. I had to sit down. I'm telling you, I sat down and looked at that for a while. I did for a few minutes because I said, wow, God wrought special, dunamis, special, dunamis power. This is the power of Almighty God. He said he wrought special power, special dunamis by how? The hands of Paul. So we can see here that the power of God is transferable and it is imparted, as Brother Hagin liked to say it, through contact and transmission, through contact by touching of hands and the impartation of miracle working power through the laying on of hands. Now, you may feel something, you may not. But in this case here, Paul was given, this said here, God wrought special miracles through and by the hands of Paul. So God did something through Paul and laying on of hands. And that's why through the laying on of hands, impartation or the anointing can be transferred upon a cloth and taken to someone who's sick and infirmed. And this here does not say that this can't be done. It doesn't say it in the scripture that we can't lay hands upon. This says here, lay hands upon the sick. Well, I think if you believe, it said these signs shall follow who? Them that believe. So there's nothing to say that you couldn't lay hands upon a piece of cloth and give it to someone. Doesn't say that. So remember, the laying on of hands is what? One of the fundamental doctrines of Christ. And are for who? The body of Christ. So my question is, who can lay hands upon the sick? Believers can. Believers can lay hands upon the sick. And we should expect that when we do, they shall do what? Recover. So any believer can lay hands upon, and these are, what we would say is two methods or ways that, or two points, or two ways that the laying on of hands can be done. Any believer can lay hands upon any other believer and expect them to be healed. Another way could be a husband and or wife could lay hands upon each other. Parents can lay hands upon their children, expecting them to be healed. You could lay hands upon yourself. I've done it. Amen. Just lay hands upon yourself. Nothing is it. These signs shall follow what? Them that believe. It doesn't say you can't lay hands on yourself. Pray and lay your hands on yourself. You're anointed. Amen. Right? Amen. And expect your body to be healed and restored. Said these signs shall follow them that believe. So we'll say that it shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. Right? So that's one way. Then again, just like we read here, Paul had a special anointing. And so, like what we've heard, Brother Hagin, he had a special anointing. That special anointing is another way. It's still the laying on of hands, but it can be considered a ministry. There can be a ministry in that regard, that God has charged you with a special anointing and a special ministry to lay hands upon the sick. Not just a regular, no, I'm not going to say a regular, but you're just not a believer. You've been given a special anointing for that. That becomes a ministry, right? You understand what I mean? Now, it's still the same application. It's the laying on of hands. But now that's not done through, it is a believer, but it's someone that's been given a special ministry, like Paul or Jesus, and there's others. right? So you could say that would be like a ministry of laying on of hands. That's not something you give yourself. That's not something that, you know, people run around in meetings, I give you this special anointing. I want to say baloney. Gives me the shivers when I hear it. Because most times, I mean, even Ann Durant said she was in prayer and talks about how God spoke to her. And she said she went out in the spirit and she said it was, she said God wanted to take her, this is the way she explained it, she said God wanted to take her and do something similar in the way that she received, like Brother Hagin, but she resisted. And he came about it another way, but she said it's a special anointing that he gave her. See? So God does impart special anointings to individuals for that purpose, right? But aside from that, every believer, this is the church, the body of Christ, it is a, what do we keep saying this? It's a fundamental doctrine of Christ. Repentance, faith in God, the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands. It is a fundamental, foundational doctrine or logos, or you could say the will of God for the church. Those that lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. These signs shall do what? Follow them, them meaning us, the body of Christ, that believe. Well, if we're believers and we embrace that, then these signs shall follow you. You don't have to feel it, but the person, always remember, Brother Hagin would say it like this, I have a responsibility to believe that when I lay hands on you, you will receive the impartation. Now, you have a, he said, I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to believe that you receive and that once you receive it, you do something with it, right? So it's not just all one-sided. You know, I hear people say, well, I didn't get anything. Why? I didn't feel anything or I felt something and you know, nothing's working. Well, then you're not going to receive. You've got to believe that you did what? Received it through the laying on of hands, whether you felt it or didn't feel it. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you may not. But what's interesting is you hear people say, even when they feel it and fall out under the power of the Spirit, they come up and a week later, 2 weeks later, they go, oh, those symptoms are back. I guess that didn't work. No, your faith stopped working in the power that was imparted in you. It was working and is working. So like Brother Hagin said, through the laying on of hands, we have a responsibility to lay hands upon the sick and believe these signs follow them that believe. We lay hands upon the sick, they shall receive and recover. I have a responsibility to believe that. We have a responsibility, the recipient, to believe that when hands are laid upon me, I receive. I love the story that Brother Hagin talks about when he said, I just believe that whoever lays hands upon me, I receive. And he talked about this stroke that he had when he was younger, after he got up off this bed of sickness and the whole side was not functioning. His face was drooped. He said he went, had this Baptist minister who believed in the laying on of hands, went and said, just lay your hands on me, I'll receive. Because he believed in the doctrine. He believed, see, this isn't just, he said, this isn't believing in a man or a person. It's not believing in that person. It's believing in God and in the word of God and in the doctrine of God. Because he said, if we put that aside, then we have to put aside salvation. We have to put aside the resurrection of the dead. We have to put aside eternal judgment. He said, because if you don't embrace one of the doctrines of Christ, then you have to then dismiss all of them. And that's not the case. So we believe, and that's what he said. He said, you just lay your hands on me, I'll be healed. And he said he went home. Everybody was saying to him, you don't look any different. You didn't get anything. He said, yes, I did. I got healed, and the healing power is working in me. He said he went home, and he said he would just speak the word. This is the other thing that sometimes you hear, most times you don't hear him say this. He said when he got home, he said he began to laugh at the symptoms. He began to just laugh. And he said he laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. And he said when he got up in the morning, all the symptoms had left. His body was perfect. His face was back normal. But he chose to laugh because the devil was telling him, you're not going to get it. You know what's interesting to me? The devil never challenges you on things that you got in the past. You ever notice that? He never said, you know, when you got all of these things from God, he never says, yeah, I know you got, but you will never get something that you're believing for. He never challenges you and said, yeah, I know you got that. I guess you're going to get it this time. No, he said, I know you got it the last time. You will never get it this time. Ha, ha, ha. Because I believe. I believe. And you can laugh at the devil. Because if I got it once, I'll get it again. If I received once, I'll receive again. So if we received once through the laying on of hands, we'll receive again through the laying on of hands. But we have to believe, right? That when hands are laid upon us, we receive. That there's an impartation made through the contact of that person's hand on me, and I receive it. I receive that impartation, and it's working in me. To effect what? A healing and a cure in my body. Amen. Glory to God. So we can see there's a number of ways that the laying on of hands was used in the scripture, but the primary way is for healing. And that was the point of just bringing out all of that, that there was the laying on of hands for blessing, for impartation of someone's anointing, for appointing people into a particular office. But the primary way was for impartation of healing. And we can see that in the Great Commission. Amen. Everybody got that? Amen. Amen. So that means we're going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. God is good.